And Psalm 2 starts off where Psalm 1 ended, and that, of course, is with the ungodly. And it ends as the first began, with the blessed of the Lord. And in particular, a question is asked in verse 1. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The heathen, that of course is those who worship everything else but the one true God. Those who are idolaters, who are not acquainted with the God of Israel, do not love the Creator, the Saviour of the world, who worship everything else but the one true God, the heathen. Why is it that they rage as the roaring of the sea and cannot be settled? Why is it that the common people described here imagine a vain thing against God? And the reason is because they will not listen to God and to the things of God. They refuse to listen. They refuse the counsel of God, as it says in Psalm 1. And so, unlike the blessed in Psalm 1, they do not esteem God's counsel. And they are like the unbelieving Jews described in Acts 7:57, who stopped their ears and ran upon Stephen. And so they imagine a vain thing against God because they will not be still and know God and listen to God. They have to employ all manner of distractions. And so they naturally have many misconceptions against God and misunderstanding against God, because they not only refuse to listen to God, but they want nothing got to do with Him. Out of sight, out of mind. I don't want to think about the things of God. I don't want to think about those things. They might interfere with my sin, what I'm accustomed to in my life. And so they want nothing got to do with them. And we see this in today's psalm. And so they are like the men described in Matthew's Gospel 8:28, who were possessed with devils and said, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" And what drives these misconceptions and these vain thoughts that they have against God? And of course, the answer is what's in their heart and what's in their mind. That's what drives these vanities against God, this raging against God and against His people like David. But more specifically, what satanic propaganda tools does the devil use in turning the hearts and minds of men and women and children against their Creator? Well, I would suggest three main things. Of course, these things change from time to time, but we see how the devil is using, I believe, these three main things and other things, but these three main things really the devil uses as tools to encourage people in their enmity against God. And first on the list of Satan's propaganda tools, every idolater, every profane person who lives a life away from God, at enmity against God, will have one or several of them in their home. And every year they increase in size. Every year they increase in reach, how many people they reach. I know people that have more than one of these false gods in their homes. Some people have one in every room, in the lounge, and then in the kitchen. While they're cooking, they've got to have their graven images, as it were. When they go to bed, they also have to make sure that they tune in to the latest in what their graven image has got to offer. And of course, if you haven't guessed what I'm talking about here, it is those tellers of lies, those false lights, those graven images that have no ear to hear you, and they cannot hear you. they cannot help you. And yet we spend so much time, don't we, in front of them. And they desensitize the people, many people today, over the things of God. They dumb down the people to the things of God. They speak badly against the law of God. They are full of murder and blasphemy and drunkenness and envyings and all sorts of perverse things. And so that is number one, I believe, on Satan's propaganda list. In making the people rage against God, have so many misconceptions against God, is the TV and such the like, where, of course, media, of course, always portray the worst with the Christian faith. They oppose the God of the Bible. They oppose the gospel, the truth of the gospel. Second, on Satan's propaganda list, in terms of his tools, in turning the hearts of men and women and children against their Maker, making them rage against their Maker, and also making them imagine vain things against their Maker, and the many misconceptions people have, of course, is the education system, the public education system. Our children are brought up learning in evolution, that they are just a part of a random cosmic event, and there's no hope, of course, and they've got to do whatever it takes, the strongest survive, to get over their neighbours. And of course, everything is relative, they're taught, so there's no wrong or right, there's no absolute truth, and so that they're free to do what they want. There's no ultimate authority, there's no accountability in their life, and hence why we have so many riots nowadays, as we've seen in recent weeks. And of course, it does look like there was an injustice done with Mr. George Floyd. But that doesn't give anyone the right to start breaking the law and breaking people's properties and being violent against other people and taking the law into their other hands. You see, the people are raging, not only against authorities, but against God, because of what they're being taught. Now, they've been taught in this system where God, of course, is you're not allowed to speak on the things of God. It's completely against the ways of God. And so, second on the list, I believe, of Satan's propaganda tools in making the people rage against God and make them have vain thoughts against God, have much misconceptions, of course, is how they're brought up in the higher education system, in the public school system. They are taught progressive liberalism, that they do not need God in their life. And, of course, this is why we see so much rage against God, is that way they're brought up. Third, on Satan's propaganda, on his propaganda list in tools, using against the Lord God and his people, of course, is alcohol and substance abuse. As it says in Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. The people rage against the things of God. They cannot be still and know God. You see, they have to employ all these things. And often it's all three of the things I've mentioned. The way they've been brought up in the public education system, there is no God, there's no absolute right or wrong. Of course, the TV and the media speak against God, against God's law, against the gospel. They water down the things of God. They always show a hypocritical Christianity. They always show Roman Catholicism or Church of England or some other works-based Christianity or watered-down gospel. And of course, alcohol, during the lockdown, we see people, how the alcohol sales have gone through the roof. Of course, because people cannot be silent. They need some form of escape from the reality of God, of God's judgments. And so they're always looking at a way of distracting their conscience, of keeping their conscience so that their conscience doesn't speak to them. And so Satan uses these things in order to encourage the people's vanities against God, the people's raging against God. It's not only the common people, as described in Psalm 2 here, who rage and set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But of course, it's the rulers as well, as it says in verse 2. And David of all people knew of this opposition, not only from those hostile nations that wanted Israel out the way, as they still do today, but of course those even within his familiar circles, as it talks about in Psalm 3, how Saul, even with his own family wanted him out the way, because he believed in God, because he did things God's way. And why would rulers set themselves against God? Why do they take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed? And the truth is that they are complicit with the common people in wanting the truth out of the way. They want it out of the way. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear of the things of God, of the gospel, of the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed. They don't want to hear it because it interferes with their sin, with their lifestyle they're accustomed to, in their rebellion against God. And hence they say, as it says in verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And you would have thought that such a blessing to this world, God sending his only Son as a sacrifice for sinners, for those who will believe and trust in him, would have been universally welcomed. But no, sadly, the opposition is true. People have rejected the Lord God, despise him, cast his name out as evil. Why? Why do these things happen? Because the truth of Christ's doctrine and his holy government interferes with the people's lifestyle and sin. That's why people wage war against God and against his anointed and against his people and against his ways. And never in the whole of history has there been so much violence and rage and war against any one person as there has been against God's anointed, God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his teachings. Never has there been so much opposition and violence and rage against any other person than the Lord Jesus Christ. And similar to David and the prophets, those that oppose God's counsel and people are not only the rulers, are they, of countries and nations. They are also, of course, rulers in high and dark places, as it says in Ephesians 6:12. But also, those rulers, of course, within spiritually high places, hypocritical Christianity, spiritually wicked high places. Ironically, they too use their appointed authority in a vain attempt to oppose God's most precious word. And the contempt that both secular and religious rulers have for the truth manifests itself in the following ways. Firstly, it manifests itself in their departure from Holy Scripture. Rulers of governments seek to cast away the cords and restraints of God's commandments and God's words. And we see that, don't we? Make sure to get rid of the name of Jesus Christ and his teaching in the schools, in businesses. If you speak of the things of God, you cannot speak of the things of God, you'll be labeled a hate someone who proclaims hate speech. You cannot speak of it in the public school system. And so they legislate to get rid of the truths of Scripture, of the Lord Jesus, the truths of the Gospel. They, as it were, cast away the cords and restraints of God's Word, the very Word that built the West into what it is today. Due to the Great Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, we see how the West has been truly blessed by the Word of God. And now, of course, we see that put into reverse, don't we? And we see how the people and the rulers and the religious elite, hypocritical that is, they're all casting away the things of God. And we see that to our own spiritual detriment. They do this by contriving means to suppress the truth of the Gospel. They legislate to undermine the Lord in every area of our lives, whether that be education, whether that be in the promotion of false religions and ideologies like Islam. Oh no, you cannot speak the things of God. It is hate speech. But when there's a terrorist attack in the name of Islam or Allah, if there's a terrorist attack, oh, it's a peaceable religion. Although it goes against the West ideals, oh no, it's a peaceable religion. But Christianity you want out the way, really because it interferes with our sin. And so they legislate to undermine the law of God in every area of our life, to cast away the cords of God's love and goodness to us and bringing His Word and prospering this country. And we see that within business, in marriage, in family life, every area of our lives, there is legislation to take us away from the anointed, from the truth of the Gospel. And they are all resolute in casting out the name of Jesus Christ in every part and fabric of our society, so that it is a crime to even speak of the name or speak of the things of Christ. And it is so sad to see this, dear friends. Now, they are not alone in their enmity and antagonism towards the Lord and His Gospel. They unite with many religious leaders of the world, among whom many parade under the banner of Christianity. And they, with great vigor, assist in the eradication of the gospel of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ by corrupting the Word of God, the very Word of God that built the West into what it is. And at every turn, they seek to undermine God's Word, either by deceit or by violence. And of course, we've seen that throughout history with the Roman Catholic Church and the mass persecution of Bible believers. Millions of true Bible believers is recorded history by reputable historians that millions of Bible believers were persecuted for proclaiming the truths of scriptures, of the scriptures and of the gospel. And so, at every turn, they seek to undermine God's word. And not only Roman Catholicism, who parade as Christianity, but the Church of England, the Charismatic movement, the Ecumenical movement, Pentecostalism, they all oppose themselves to the truths of the gospel because they water down God's word. They make true Bible-believing Christians to be abhorred because, of course, they show an outward Christianity. They have their bands and entertainments and rock music and other such blasphemies. Outward healings. No longer walk by faith. You need actual special revelations and tongues. And so they make God's word of no effect. And they make Christianity to be abhorred by rulers and by the common people. And to stink. And for all this, they think all these forces of hell join bands against the Lord, the remnant of the Lord's people. And for all this, they think that they will get Him, who is the way, the truth, and the life, out of the way. And of course, how can they do that? But what is God's response in all this to the raging, misguided unbeliever? and to the proud, conniving ruler, and to the hypocritical religious leader? Well, it says in verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall laugh. He who formed the heart, will he not know what's in the heart? Can he not see if we're living a life away from God, robbing from God what he's given us? He that made the mind, will he not know what's in the mind? What vanities are in the mind? He that gave the tongue, will he not know what is said against the giver of it? And so the Lord will have them in derision, as ants confronted with a bushfire. And if the truth and heat of God's word will not convict and melt their hearts to seek him, he will do what he says in verse 5, he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. The same word that has given them their lives, sustains their every breath, who gives them food and everything that they have, the same word will be their undoing. All the freedoms that we have here today in the West are because of our Christian heritage, not despite it. And so this vexation, this wrath that will come upon them, of course, is not just providentially, it's an inner vexation. It's an inner emptiness and vexation. People, they will always be disappointed. They can never fill the void, as it were. And so the Lord will frustrate their puny efforts to bring God's counsel and judgment to nothing. For God has ordained it, hasn't he? He has declared the decree. And who can gainsay against God's orders, against God's decree, against God's command? He has declared the decree. Jesus Christ will reign supreme. He has. The work that was preordained before the worlds came into existence has happened. The Lord Jesus Christ, through David and through the seed of David, has brought in the Son of God, the Anointed, the King of Kings, to be a Saviour for those who will come to believe in him, who those who would stop their war against God and come to peace in God and believe in the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. His only begotten Son shall reign supreme over all. His is an eternal decree. It's permanent. And no one can take that away. And will what they set stand against the Almighty? And will the pot confound the potter? God the Father has set his righteous King upon his holy hill of Zion. The Lord Jesus did come according to the prophecies of old. He did fulfill exactly what was spoken of him, that he would come, the just for the unjust, to bring us rebels back to God, so that we through him might receive the forgiveness of sins. Because God is a God of justice, sin has to be punished. No sin can ever get into heaven. No sinful thought can ever get into heaven. And so the Lord, sending his own Son, his only begotten Son, as a sacrifice for sin, and was punished for our sins. And so those who believe and trust in him, because the Lord Jesus was punished for our sins, he endured that eternity of hell, as it were, and rose from the dead, we are now made free to serve and to live for him who believe in him and have received the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that rose Christ victoriously from the dead. And he lives now interceding for us. And so we need to put down our weapons of war. We need to believe in him. The decree has happened. The work of salvation is finished. And why carry on with your war against God? The only begotten of the Father, the Anointed, will not be diverted nor discouraged from what he has willed in his heart. And that, of course, is saving a people for himself. And that, of course, is to save those who turn from their sin and believe in the salvation, the free gift of salvation in Christ, in the Anointed. Why would we reject the only remedy for our greatest problem, which, of course, is the problem of our sin? The natural enmity which we're all born with, which separates us from a holy God, is our vain imaginations and love of worldly counsels and the things, the sins that we're accustomed to, that precious to us, that we would be willing to reject our Maker's counsel and the Gospel, the Anointed. Are those things that precious that we'd be willing to endure an eternity of hell for them? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation that is in Christ? The world belongs to Him, and everything therein is His. Every day that we live our lives away from God in our sin and rage against God and steal from God the glory due to His name, all the things that He gives us every day that we live against Him, of course, the wrath of God abides on us. Every mouthful of food that we eat and we do not acknowledge Him for it, the wrath of God abides on us, because He is the giver of everything we have. He provides the sunshine and the rain alike. Every kind word and lovely sound that we hear from the birds or other such things, if we do not acknowledge God's hand in it, the wrath of God abides on us. Every moment that we're loved by a spouse, by children, by friends, by people, and we embrace that love, every moment that we feel loved, but we embrace not the author of love, we embrace not the one who so loved the world, He gave Himself, every moment that we feel loved and we embrace not God's love through His Son, the wrath of God abides on us. And every comfort we enjoy here down below, our homes, our clothes, our food, the common grace that's given to us, how we do not seek our Maker, we do not acknowledge Him, we do not love Him, the wrath of God is stored up and abides on us if we do not seek and know Him. How long will you test the patience and the long-suffering of God in giving you space to repent? The Bible says that God is angry at the wicked every day. How long will you reject God's Anointed, the Gospel in your life? How long will you kick against the pricks of conscience? How long will you rage against God in living for everything else but the true God, in employing all these things in your life? Never opening up your Bible, watching TV, drinking, undergoing all these pursuits and forgetting about your Maker, your Saviour. His eyes shall be as flames of fire, which will burn up the unruly thorns that choke His truth and make light His holiness and His sovereignty. His indignation, His just, righteous indignation, against the unjust treatment of His only begotten Son, is almost full. The Almighty God makes ready His rod of iron to break in pieces the marred vessel that refuses to be reformed and made aright in Christ. If you refuse the remedy, dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed, then there's no hope for you. The Lord will come, as it were, with His rod of iron. And we see that, don't we? With what happened to Jerusalem, and partly came true with the Roman Empire destroying the unbelieving Jews who rejected Christ, coming in, as it were, like a rod of iron and destroying Jerusalem. And of course the gospel flourished, didn't it? And it destroyed the powers of the pagan world. And God's truth, despite all this opposition, the whole host of hell, still goes forth as a mighty conqueror. Nothing can stop the truth of God's word. He laughs at the puny attempts that we do down here below, like ants trying to take counsel against the Almighty. He shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Your Creator says, be wise now, therefore. O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Be wise now. Those that would be wise must be instructed. And those who are truly wise are those who receive instruction from the Word of God. I pray that you will receive instruction from the Word of God. These heavenly truths that I'm speaking about with you today. Those in a position of power, of course, as kings and judges of the earth, mentioned here in Psalm 2, must be mindful of him who has dominion and power for eternity, and whose judgment will stand uncontested forever. And those that will not bow, he shall break with the rod of iron. And those that give law and hold the lives in the balance, as it were, they must receive the law of Christ first. The psalmist extols those that would hearken to the wisdom that is from above. He says in verse 12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. Stop your war against God. Stop your opposition to God. Stop using and abusing what God has given you. He has given you a life. We are not just from a random process. It is evident that the Lord has made us and he has sent his Son to die on the cross for us. There is a way back to God. Don't use and abuse what God has given you. Don't rob from the Lord the glory due to his most holy name. He has said it. It will come to pass. Put down your weapons of war. Use what God has given you to bring glory to his name. Come to Christ. Believe in the anointed. Embrace him for who he is. The Creator, the Savior, who gives to all, who sustains all. Embrace him. Kiss the Son. Let he be angry. Don't live a life away from God. You're not an animal. You're made for him. You're made for a higher purpose in life. Embrace him, kiss him, seek him with all your heart. Be not a Judas Iscariot. Do not come unsincerely, as it were, with a false kiss. And yes, there is a cost for becoming a true born again believer, a disciple of Jesus Christ. There is a cost. And that cost, of course, will mean that you'll be hated of most men. And they will cast out your name as evil, your ways as evil, because you trust in the truth in Christ. They will speak falsely of you, and they will persecute you, and they will do all these things for Christ's sake. There is a cost for being a disciple of Christ. Because you are of the truth, you have that heavenly image now imprinted upon your heart. You're born of God. You're born from above. And men hate darkness rather than light. Men don't come to the darkness. They hate the light. They don't come for instruction unless the Lord God is working in your heart and drawing you with those cords of love. We must, the Bible says, through much tribulation enter into heaven. But do not fret, my dear believer, and do not fret you who perhaps the Lord is working in. Do not fret you who are blessed of the Lord, who trust in the Messiah and the anointed one, the only begotten of the Father, the King of kings. Do not fret, because men's vanity and rage and anger is but for a moment. But God's anger and God's wrath, who can endure? Who can endure the anger that God will have upon those who reject the free gift of salvation in His Son. Who will escape God's wrath? And that wrath will last for an eternity. And when a million years is up, and you've rejected Christ, and you've rejected the gospel, you carry on in your defiance against God, and you're in hell, and a million years are up, you've got yet eternity to come, living a nightmare, living in eternity, with no common grace, no love anymore that you spurned, no common grace, no comfort that we have here down below, but you've got another million years to come in constant regret, in darkness, a place like your worst nightmare, over and over again. You've got to relive that over again for an eternity because you've rejected God's anointed. There is an eternity to come, friends. When you die, that's not it. The judgment comes. Will you put your tools of war down against God? Switch off the TV. Turn from the drink. Turn from the counsels of the ungodly. And turn to your Bible. Seek the Lord God with all your heart. Rejoice and sing aloud, ye blessed of the Lord. You who love the Lord, for great is your treasure in heaven. I do pray that the Lord God's most precious word may have blessed you today.